First up, irrigation, and farmers who signed up to the Scottsdale Irrigation Scheme won't see water flowing until at least spring. It was anticipated the 8,000 megalitre project, which will also service Bridport, Springfield, Nabala and Waterhouse, would be ready for commissioning by January. TAS Irrigation Chief Executive Andrew Kneebone has told Larissa Smith that's no longer the case.
Scottsdale Irrigation Scheme is a bit behind schedule in terms of construction. We originally hoped to have this completed, or practical, what we call practical completion on the scheme, by January, and the contractor is a little bit behind that at this point in time. All of the pipeline, the delivery pipeline is in the ground, and it's just going through the process of being commissioned, and I think all the outlets are in. It's a matter of getting that now commissioned and ensuring that it's working appropriately and is delivering the right flow rates to the areas that it should, flushing pipes and doing all those sorts of things.
So it won't be ready by autumn then?
No. No, we've worked with our irrigators. We thought we would be in a position to deliver water from February, but we were informed very late in November, early December, that the pipelines wouldn't be ready in time to facilitate that, so there won't be any water being delivered into that scheme this year.
This year or this financial year?
This financial year, this season.
So spring possible?
We're aiming that the first season, as always, the first full season will be the 2021 season.
So what's behind the delay? Is it the weather? What is it?
It's just construction delays. It's the various issues that happen when in construction projects.
Does this scheme have the capacity to expand in the future?
All schemes have got the capacity to expand in the future. There's no issue with that. This scheme hasn't yet met... isn't fully sold yet. We've still got 20% of the water entitlements to sell. It really again comes down to how do you fund that extension or that expansion. And we're now, as part of Tranche 3, this Southeast Integration Project and even the Sassafras Wesleyvale Project is all about extending existing schemes or integrating extending new scheme these existing schemes.
So is it your expectation that the scheme will be fully subscribed by spring?
No. When we do these business cases, we look at what we think will be the tail on water sales, and depending on these on the scheme, it will depend on how long that tail will be for water sales. So some of these schemes have got sort of 5 to 10 year tails on these water entitlements being sold.
TAS Irrigation Chief Executive Andrew Kneebone on delays to the Scottsdale Irrigation Scheme. Now, that scheme was approved way back in 2013, so farmers in the area have had plenty of time to work out what they'll use the water for. Like Jared Nichols, many will irrigate grass to finish livestock and expand vegetable production.
Look, I didn't instantly get excited because at the time, obviously, commodity prices weren't where they are now, and it seemed like it was reasonably expensive water to be putting on pasture and so forth, but I'm just so pleased that we did subscribe because you can justify watering pastures. We're going to look at, well, we are putting some centre pivots in, and long term a couple of those pivots will predominantly just be watering pastures and fodder crops for livestock, because if the livestock price stays up around $3 a kilo, which I expect it to get even better than that, well, there's a significant return in irrigating feed for livestock, and the lamb price, well, crikey, who knows where that might end up. But no, so it's certainly been a move that I'm glad we made.
So you've made the additional investment in infrastructure like your centre pivots because of the security of water?
Yeah, I wouldn't be looking at a couple of the pivot sites that we are looking at. We're on an adjoining property that we've not long brought, but I wouldn't have invested or be investing in that without this additional water. And the beauty of the water for us where we're located is that there's no additional pumping that's going to be required. We'll be able to just run those irrigators straight from a gravity feed. So, you know, when you take that into account with the cost of electricity, it doesn't make the water expensive at all. And the fact that once you've got that all up and running, the maintenance is no longer not your issue like it is when you've got your own your own private scheme. So
you've mentioned that you'd like to put this extra water into pasture to fatten up beef and sheep here on the farm. What other opportunities are you leaning towards?
We're certainly going to expand the amount of potatoes and onions, as well as poppies, traditional things that we're growing. I'm looking to, we'll expand our little citrus venture quite a bit over the next few years, hopefully. Not that that requires a huge amount of water. They're only under drip irrigation, so probably 2 to 3 megalitres a hectare is all that we're looking at there. But and with the rhubarb, we probably won't expand that significantly further than where we are, but just to be able to know that you're secure when opportunities do arise, know that you're able to take them on because you've got that water there, is just going to be so handy.
This last 6 months or so has been pretty dry for the district that's usually has a fairly reliable rainfall. How handy would it have been?
Oh, look, if we could have had a centre pivot running around this season, the opportunities to have traded livestock has been enormous. We're obviously all seeing where the prices have gone now, but up the last 6 or 8 weeks, there's been some very viable livestock about. And if you had have had the capacity to have brought then and been watering grass, well, I think it would have gone a long way to paying for your water in just a season or two. So, yeah, it would have been in hindsight, it would have been a wonderful thing to have had it up and running this year. But anyway, it wasn't, so we can't beat ourselves up over that. But, yes, it's certainly been one of those years where you realise the potential that it can have.
Are you frustrated that the scheme has been delayed like it has?
We didn't bank on having the water this year, so it hasn't really affected us. But I'm frustrated that the scheme was undertaken with what appears to be... There's been so many mistakes made, and there's no point running inquiries and everything else, but it is frustrating when you see them backtracking over ground and you hear stories of things that have happened and you just shake your head, to be honest. It looks like there's been a bit of incompetence, unfortunately, in the maybe the design and just the way that the whole system's come together. It's been an unfortunate one.
How are things looking for some of the crops that you've got in the ground? So your spuds, you've already had poppies come out.
Look, we've ended up having a really positive season. Up until Christmas time, I was wondering where we were going to be. The poppies looked pretty good right from the get-go, considering how cold it was early on. But the potatoes and onions were all very slow. But the nice, warm January, they seem to have made up ground. The spuds are holding on really well. We've got a really nice crop of onions that we've only just lifted. I'm actually really quite upbeat about how the season's turned out for us.
That's Scottsdale farmer Jared Nichols talking there to Larissa Smith. Well, farmer Cameron Moore is also in the same camp. He runs a vegetable business and packing operation at Scottsdale. He spoke to Larissa Smith about the potential of an expanded irrigation scheme and what it will bring.
A lot of processing potatoes are grown in the northeast, along with onions, carrots. Poppies have always been a big crop. There's pyrethrum, swedes, beetroot. There's obviously a fair bit of dairy in the northeast too. So I suppose that's the base that we're sort of starting from. What the future looks like with the scheme coming online, I suppose if we all had our crystal ball, we'd be laughing. But there could be plenty of opportunities, whether it's growing fodder for the dairy farms, whether it's doing irrigated beef or lamb with the current prices. I think the economics stack up to make the investment and irrigate grass. One of the things that I've always looked at when the irrigation scheme became a reality is what it did for the Coal River Valley. It was always just a traditional sheep farming area, and now you look down there and there's vineyards and there's orchards and there's leafy greens and there's all sorts of stuff going on down there. So what water will do for the district and what it looks like in 5 years' time and what crop mix we are actually doing, I think we've got all the opportunities in the world to do whatever we want.
And what will you be doing?
If you look at it, we're Moore's Farm Fresh Veggies, so obviously veggies will be our focus. We'll look at expanding production on our own ground, of onions, carrots, all the veggie mix that we do. We'll probably take a serious look at irrigated beef production. There might be some lamb production in there as well. That's sort of where we're at the moment. But you never say never to a new crop mix coming into the system if the opportunities are there. Whether it's branching out into production of, say, broccoli or cauliflowers or all those sort of brassica crops. I suppose they used to be grown here when the factory was up and running and supplied into there. They haven't been grown for a while. Labour's probably a bit of an issue, but I think that can be overcome in time, whether it's a mix of more people moving into the district and setting up homes, or whether it's using backpacker labour and stuff like that. I think there's opportunities there for someone to set up a hostel in Scottsdale to house X amount of backpackers. Yeah, so there's plenty of opportunities out there. It's all about what people decide that they actually want to do when the water is turned on for next irrigation season.
So you think this irrigation scheme can create new jobs, not just expand vegetable production?
I can't see why it can't create new jobs in the district. I mean, we've got a new road that's going to go in up over the sidling. There's $40-odd million that's about to be spent on that. I don't know exactly where they are in the planning stages, but to get a road that'll end up on the southern side of Launceston, and then that opens up to go up to Burnie, to the ports, Devonport, or straight down to Hobart, where the bulk of the Tasmanian population is. I mean, just having a road it might only be a saving of, say, 15, 20 minutes in a car, but for what it'll actually do for freighting produce out of the district will be, it'll certainly save us a lot of money on freight and open up all sorts of opportunities.
How handy would this water have been in this last 12 months?
it certainly would have been, hugely handy. When it becomes a reality and everyone sees the pipe going in the ground and the excavators digging the trench, then they start going, this is actually a reality. And then you strike a dry season like this and we go, geez, it would have been good if it was finished 6 months ago. But the fact of the matter is it isn't, and we've just got to be patient and wait, and we will get the scheme that we've all signed up for, and we're better off to do that and make sure it's done right and properly rather than trying to get the water early and then it doesn't actually deliver what we want it to deliver.
Just finally, you're in between crops at the moment, so packing onions and ready to harvest a few other things. So how are, say, for example, your onions coming out of the paddocks for this season?
Given the dry, cold, windy spring that we went through, I didn't hold out a lot of hope for any high yields and any big production. But since Christmas time and the weather settled a bit and we start getting some heat, I've actually been pleasantly surprised with how some of the crops are finishing off. We've run the figures on the first crop, which, when I sort of did a few assessments and just from my own experience looking at crops, I thought they might have been a crop in the yield of sort of the low 20 ton to the acre mark, but it actually was quite pleasantly surprising that they were up around that sort of 27, 28 ton to the acre. So I hold out a fair bit of hope that all our production that we're lifting and getting ready to harvest now are going to certainly exceed where we thought they were going to be as a business.
It's Cameron Moore from Moore's Farm Fresh Vegetables at Scottsdale talking there to Larissa Smith.